Speaking tonight is David Amelech. Yeshiva Shalmata, no less a Choshuva Ushpizim, Rabbi Shalom Gold, whose topic is an update on the Ushpizim. Rabbi Gold.
Thank you very much, Phil. There's only one problem that I have. Can you hear me?
No.
Can't hear a thing. It's always the problem when you're the first one. They have to work out all the kinks with me. And that's because we were kicked upstairs.
Huh? Phil, what's with this wire over here? It's a mess.
Your friends are here. Your friends are here. Chag Sameach. How are the donkeys?
Very good.
Try it.
Nothing.
Do I have what? Sauces?
They gave them out to somebody. There must be.
Any
more sauces back there?
Yeah,
sauce sheets?
Yeah, plenty on there.
Plenty. Here, tell them. Okay. There are plenty.
You don't mind sharing.
Nothing.
Did you turn it off?
Is there a button to turn the mic on there?
See, where is the problem?
What's your IQ? I'm always afraid to call a repairman to the house. It always happens. Repairman comes in, switches a button on, everything works, that'll be 250 shekel. Erev Tov, everybody. Mo'adim l'simcha. It must have been at least 8 years ago that I began with a series of Shiurim every Hoshana Rabba night that was dedicated and devoted to the Ushpizin. I said in that shiur I said that the idea that we have guests, the holy guests that come into our sukkah, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Yosef, Aaron, David, They don't simply come. They come bearing a message. And what's most significant is that we should be able to hear what it is that they have to say. So I have taken the liberty over the last 8 years of attempting to understand what is it that they would say if they would come in to our
keep it away from the mic. Keep it away from the mic.
To our sukkah. Now, what would they say? So I think I did reasonable justice to them over the years. And I spoke about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. There's one that I don't think I spoke about over the years, and tonight finally comes his turn. I'm going to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. What does Moshe Rabbeinu have to say to us when he comes into the sukkah this year? In order to arrive at an understanding of what Moshe has to say to us, on your source sheet, left-hand side of the page, There's a story, a famous story in the Gemara. The Gemara says of Kishacholot Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took ill, Nichnesu Tamidav Levakro, his students came in to visit him. Kivin Shiro Tam, when he saw them, Hitchil Livkot, he began to cry. Amrulo Talmidav, his students said to him, Ner Yisrael, light of Israel, Amud Hayimini, the rightmost pillar. Patish HaChazak, the mighty hammer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the great leader of the Jewish people at the time of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. Why are you crying? Amal Hamsi said to them, Ilu lifnei melech basar vadam hayu molichen oti, if they were leading me for judgment before a king of flesh and blood. And a king of flesh and blood, today he's here, tomorrow he's gone. Hayom kan u'machar bakeber, tomorrow he's dead. And if he gets angry with me, shim koes alai, ein kaso, kaso lam, if he becomes angry with me, his anger is not an everlasting, eternal anger. Vimosreini, ein isuro isurolam, and if he imprisons me, his imprisonment is not an everlasting imprisonment. Vimimiseini, and even if he puts me to death, his death is not an everlasting, eternal death. And this king of flesh and blood, I can appease him. I can even pay him off. Vaniachol lefai sovid varim, I am able to appease him with words, uleshachado b'mamon, and to bribe him with money. Afal pikein, despite all of that, I would be frightened and I would cry when they are taking me before a king of flesh and blood. Va'achshav, now kal v'chomer, now, Shemolichim Oti Lifnei Melech Malchei Hamlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are taking me before the King of all kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, Shehu Chai V'Kayam La'olam Ulo Mei Olamim, who lives and endures forever and ever. And if he gets angry with me, Shem Koes Alai Kaso Kasolam, his anger is an everlasting anger. And if he imprisons me, that imprisonment is an everlasting imprisonment. The imimitainin, if he puts me to death, his death is an everlasting death. The eini yochol lefaiso bedvarim, I cannot appease him with words, and I cannot pay him off with money. V'lo'od. So that's one reason he says why he is crying. He is frightened of what is going to happen. V'lo'od. And he adds, there's one other thing. Not only that, Ella. Now remember, we are talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the one, if we are to choose one of the Tanaim who is responsible for the fact that there is Torah by the Jewish people today, the one with whom we can credit the survival of the Jewish people for the last 2,000 years. One of the most outstanding figures was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And listen to what he tells his students. He tells them, Elo sheyesh lefanai shnei drachim. There are two roads, two paths before me. One of them is Gan Eden, and the other is Gehenim. Ve'eini yodea be'eze molichim oti, and I don't know which path they're leading me on. Yeah. Where am I going? In what direction? V'lo evke, and I shouldn't cry. So of course, this has been a topic for Rabbanim, Darshanim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees two paths before him, one to Gan Eden and the other to Gehenim. He doesn't realize that he saved the life, the spirit, the vitality, the energy of the Jewish people. There it is. He's standing before Vespasian outside of the city of Jerusalem, and Vespasian tells him, choose what it is that you wish. And he said, and Vespasian most probably must have chuckled to himself, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "Ten li Yavne v'chachameha. Give me Yavne and her wise men." There were most probably a few Alta Yidin over there who were learning Torah in Yavne. And here's Vespasian, now to become Caesar of the mightiest empire in the world. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asks for Tenli Yavne v'chachameha, some little yeshiva down there in Yavne. But we, of course, know the brilliance. Mighty Rome has left. What did it leave in the world? What do we have today? The ruins. The ruins of mighty Rome. And Yavne v'chachameha were the ones that inspired and kept alive an eternal and everlasting people. Rome is in drought. Do I have to translate that? I don't have to translate it. And the Jewish people are a strong and mighty people today. And he was in doubt. So here, of course, one of the explanations that's said by many people is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know yet, but you see, there was something else he could have chosen. He could have asked Vespasian, lift the siege on Yerushalayim. By asking for Yavne v'chachomel, Yavne and her wise men, he was in fact surrendering Yerushalayim to the Romans. That's exactly what he did. He surrendered Jewish sovereignty, Jewish independence, the might of a Jewish state. He surrendered it all. And in its place, he asked for Yavne v'chachomel. Rabbi Akiva was going to come afterwards and say, Meshiv Chachomim Ochor Vedatom Yisokel, there are times that God turns the wisdom of the wise back and makes them foolish. He should have asked for Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as he is about to die, isn't really sure. Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe he should have asked for Yerushalayim. The decision that he made was based on the information that was available to him. And the information that was available at the time was the Jewish community of Yerushalayim could not stand up before the force and the might of Rome. It would have been a total disaster. They had already lost the ability to fight Rome. But you know, there's always the doubt. Maybe Vespasian would have lifted the siege. Then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would say to him, not likely. Oh, no, not likely. When Rome held the Jewish state by the neck, they were not going to give that up. One of the great Roman historians wrote, when Judea rebelled, the Roman Empire quaked. The Roman Empire was just about the whole ancient world. And the smallest country, by the way, it's still the smallest country. Nothing's changed. This little province, seemingly insignificant province in the Roman Empire, was the one that the Romans were terrified most of all. Because when Judea rebels, and they did it a number of times, the Roman Empire quaked. I remember I was thinking of this when the movement of Jewish dissidents in Russia began to gain great strength. You know what really happened? When Judea rebels, the Russian Empire quaked. Ultimately, it was brought down. It was brought down by Jews who were defiant. What, of course, helped them was the fact that communist Russia was completely decayed from within. On the outside, it looked like it was healthy and robust and strong, but it wasn't. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a decision based on the information that was available to him. They didn't stand a chance of fighting Rome, and therefore he relinquished it all. He surrendered Rome. He surrendered Yerushalayim to Rome. And he asked for Yavne v'Chachomel. But there was always that little bit of doubt that when he passes on and he comes up, stands before the bar of heavenly justice, the Rebbe Mishon is going to look down at him and say, Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai, what a mistake you made. Don't worry. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. We know that Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai saved the Jewish people. All right? That's the first part of the Gemara. We're not finished with this Gemara yet. Let's go finish it now. Amru lo, so they said to him, Rabbeinu Borcheinu, our teacher, bless us. Amalem, he said to them, Yehi ratzon shetehei mora shamayim aleichem kemora bosa badam. May it be the will of God that the fear of heaven be upon you like the fear of flesh and blood. Oh, were they upset. Amru lo, Talmid of his students said to him, Ad kan? This is the whole blessing you're giving us? That we should fear God like we fear fellow man? Shouldn't we tremble before God more than anything else? So he said to them, let's be realistic. Amalem, he said to them, Levi, if only that. Teidu, you should know. Kishadam over Aveda, when a person does an Aveda, Omer, he says to himself, if only no man sees me. We're concerned about that first. Last paragraph. B'shat petiroto el malahem, at the time that the moment of his passing is now coming, at the moment of his passing, he said to his students, two things. Panu kelim mipnei hatuma, remove the utensils of the house because of the tuma. When he passes on, there's going to be a dead body in the house, and any earthenware pots that are in the house are going to become tame. Panu kelim, remove the utensils before the tumah. V'hachinu kisei l'chizkiyo melech Yehuda shaba, and prepare a chair for Chizkiyo, king of Yehuda, who is coming. These two will deal with the earthenware jugs second. First, why does he want a chair for Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda? Because he was going to summon Chizkiyo, king of Yehuda, to be the one who would... Well, you know, there are times that great people need character witnesses, you know, who come and say what wonderful people they were. He said the one who... He felt that the one who was going to stand up for him before the bar of heavenly justice was going to be Chizkiyo, king of Yehuda. Because Chizkiyo was the one who made an announcement to all of Israel. The mother says it, describes it so beautifully. He took a sword, put a sword into the door of the Beis Medrash, and he said, he who does not study Torah will be run through by the sword. The Gemara says afterwards, Bodku, they checked from Dan to Beersheba, there was neither man nor woman nor child who did not know the most intricate laws of Talmud. He made an educational revolution in Eretz Yisrael unparalleled. Most probably, if there is any time in history that we can begin to compare to the time of Chizkiyo, I am ready to bet that we're living in it right now. I'm always fond of recalling, I came to learn in Eretz Yisrael in 1955. You know, when I speak to younger audiences, they don't even know when 1955 was, you understand? But I think I'm amongst friends now. When 1955, I like to make a cheshbon. How many yeshivas there were in the whole country? It was unbelievable. You had 3-4 yeshivas in Yerushalayim. You had 3 yeshivas in Bnei Brak. There was already the beginnings of a yeshiva up in Kfar Chasidim, Rechasim. It was a pitiful, pitiful, poverty-stricken yeshiva world. It wasn't a yeshiva world. It was a yeshiva village. Take a look at what's going on in this country today. Unbelievable. The greatest thing for Torah has been secular Zionism. They're great. The biggest supporters of Torah in the world. Take a look at what's growing over here. It's unbelievable. Chizkiyahu is the one that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is going to call to testify in his behalf. The power and the significance of Torah. And the Torah ultimately is going to mean the survival of the Jewish people. And the day will come. The day will come when Rome will be in ruins, and we are going to be on the rise. Why did he tell them to remove the vessels in the house? Because they're going to become impure. Now, the only vessels that it makes a difference in halacha are earthenware. Any other keli can go through a process of purification. Earthenware kelim, we were talking about kelim that are cost pennies, the least expensive. What do you think it was that Yaakov Avinu crossed back the river, the pachim ketanim, the little jugs? Is this what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells, the last statement he makes to his students? We expect, you know, as somebody great as him, before his students, who are going to be the leaders of generations of Jews, some final great statement, you know, give me liberty or give me death, you know. Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Or what did the general, the American general at the Battle of the Bulge say to the German general who asked for his surrender? Go down in history. Nuts to you. We would have expected of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to have said something meaningful for all generations. And it seems he's saying something so technical, like get the kelim out of the way, you know. Get the kelim out of the way. And what difference does it make? They don't mean much. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook has a brilliant essay on this question. And he makes the following point. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was afraid that his students might arrive, not only his students and the Jewish people to come for all generations could misunderstand what he did, and that mistake could be an extremely, extremely dangerous one for the Jewish people. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai surrendered the state and everything that went with it. We're talking about the economic infrastructure of a nation, its wealth. Everything ended up in the hands of Rome. And he asked for Yavne v'chachomeha. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as he is about to die, is afraid that his students may not understand, they may misinterpret it, and arrive at a conclusion that the material, the physical, the economic, the trappings of state, government, sovereignty, independence, these things are not important. Only Torah is important. He wanted to leave them with this last great message. Every last bit of wealth has value. Anything that we have that belongs to us is part of the restructuring and rebuilding ultimately of a Jewish state. Take nothing for granted. Don't for a moment ever think that there is anything that is unimportant and insignificant. He's sending them a message, according to Rav Kook, that the day will come when you're going to rebuild the state. And that's going to be something that will require all of the effort, all of the energy, all the little things together are going to make up the totality of what is going to be rebuilt when the time is going to come. Don't underestimate anything. The value of those kelim, yes, his students must have been wondering, this is what our great Rebbe is telling us now. He's dying. You know, tell us something great. You know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Some great battle cry for all time. Oh boy, does he give them the battle cry. The time for rebuilding is going to come, and everything is going to be important. You're going to be, you will make use of all of the physical and material wealth that you have, and you're going to rebuild. Well, how did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai know that that was an important message to give to his students? And yes, the message is important, but why now? Why sort of with his dying and gasping breath? So I maintain that what he did is he learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Ushpizin that we're going to talk about. What would Moshe Rabbeinu have to say to us now? I'll tell you what he'd have to say. Top of the right hand side. Some strange reason, and I usually number the sources, and I forgot, you know. I forget. Do you people ever forget things? Yeah? Well, occasionally I do, and I forgot. But it's not so bad. I just have the right hand side and the left hand side. This is the right hand side. Barzel and Nechoshet min Alecha. It came out. Do you think Rabbi Weinrib will like this kind of... Okay. Why did those women get downstairs?
We have a sukkah.
Yeah. I'd rather have a good mic than a sukkah. All right. You didn't hear that. This is the most exciting part, Bill.
It's better.
I don't know. Anyway, we're going to learn the last few psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu said in his lifetime. This is the end of Sefer Devarim. He blesses all of the tribes, and toward the end of the Zot Havracha, Barzel Unechoshet Min Alecha. You have the translation down below. May your borders be sealed like iron and copper. Uchiyamecha Dovecha. And like the days of your prime, so may your old age be. Rashi explains Barzel Unechoshet Min Alecha. And this is something fascinating. People are unaware of it. I remember when I told somebody who seemed to be inclining toward a leftist worldview. Those are always my best friends. I always end up, you know. So I told him, and it's a comment that Rashi makes, the biblical borders of Eretz Yisrael, the ones that God gave Eretz Yisrael, are all naturally defensive. they were made in, God gave them in such a way that water, mountain ranges, God didn't give us an Eretz Yisrael that stops in the middle of a city, you know. One side is Eretz Yisrael and the other side belongs to somebody else. There's no such thing. The Golan Heights are that which defends Eretz Yisrael. The Jordan. The Mediterranean. Basel and Nechoshet min Olecha, your borders are Basel and Nechoshet. They are iron and they are copper. And he also gives them a bracha that in your old age you should also have strength and vitality. By the way, you know, some of the Mepharshim say, we say it on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Slichas, Al tashlichenu leizikno, kichlois koichenu, al tazveinu, don't cast us away in our old age. So of course everybody thinks of themselves, you know, our old age. The fact is, according to many of the Mepharshim, it's talking about the Jewish people. Rabbeinu Shalom, we're about 4,000 years old. Don't cast us away. Kichlot kochenu, as we begin, seems as though we're losing our strength. Al tazveinu, don't forsake us. We got a lot of living to do yet in this world. Moshe Rabbeinu continues. Ein ko'el yeshurun. Yeshurun is Israel. And he says to Yeshurun, Israel, there is none like your God. Ein ko'el Yeshurun, rochev shamayim be'ezrecha. He rides the very heavens in order to come to your aid and your assistance. Uvegavato, and in his great pride and in his splendor, he is in the heavens over there. You know what he's doing in the heavens? He's looking after us. He's looking after us. Ma'ona. Ma'ona elokei kedem. This is the Ma'ona, the dwelling place of the God from all time. And mitachat, and below him, Zroot Olam, the mighty ones of the world. You know what he... Moshe Rabbeinu is describing it as though it has happened already, because he has seen it in his mind's prophetic eye. Vayegodesh miponecha oyev, he cast out from before you the enemy. Vayomer, and he said, Hashmeid. He said, destroy. That's already a word that should get us thinking. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die. And this is the message that he tells his people? Destroy? Destroy? Kill? They. Vayishkon Yisrael Betach. Let's go further. Thus Israel shall dwell secure, solitary. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the safety and the security of the Jewish people. Vayishkon Yisrael Betach, Bodod, Ein Yaakov, El Eretz Dagon V'Tirosh, Am Shomov Yarfutau. He's talking about an Israel that lives in safety and security and has a great deal of grain and wine. Af Shomov, his heavens drip with dew. You know what's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu's dying words about economy, safety, security, military, army. Hey, what's going on over here? We would have expected of Moshe Rabbeinu as he's dying, learn Torah, be frum, do mitzvahs, never forget that you are God's people. You know, I could have taken, you know, half of Sefer Devarim and put it right in here in the dying words of Moshe's mouth. But oh, no, that's not what he talks about. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about independence. He's talking about sovereignty. He's talking about an infrastructure of an economy. He's talking about a strong, mighty people, a people who are protected from their enemies, a people who are able to stand up against their enemies. That's what he's talking about with his dying breath. Ashrecha Yisrael, the last passage. This is it, the last thing Moshe Rabbeinu says. Ashrecha Yisrael, fortunate are you, O Israel. Mi kamocha, who is like you? Am Nosha Bahashem, a people who are delivered and saved by God. Magen Ezrecha, he is the shield of your help. Ba'asher cherev gavotecha. Ba'asher cherev gavotecha. Can you imagine in the last sentence that Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, he's talking about the sword. The sword. Vei, vei, vei. I would have expected him to talk about peace. Peace on earth. Goodwill to all men. I would have expected Moshe Rabbeinu to wax poetic about the sweetness and the goodness of man living side by side with fellow man. God, would that have been a beautiful message? It's not what he says. Moshe Rabbeinu's dying message is a message of strength, a message telling the Jewish people, if you want to survive throughout history, you're going to have to be tough. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be ready to fight for what's yours. Don't be bleeding heart Jews. Can't help it, I read an article earlier this week in the Jerusalem Post about where is our morality? And the morality that he's talking about, you know, we have to be concerned about the Palestinians, and it's so terrible. If we don't have that morality, what are we? We are nothing. God Almighty. What's he talking about? What is the man talking about? So, all right, I'll tell you the truth. I'm afraid to tell you, but I'll tell you the truth. I wrote a letter to the editor of the Jerusalem Post. So I'll be out there 5 o'clock in the morning tomorrow to see if they sometimes they do publish my letters. Sometimes they don't. This may have been a little tough. I didn't have my wife, she typed it, but she didn't take off the rough edges. I said the following, the highest morality of Klal Yisrael. After 2,000 years of statelessness, weakness, after a Holocaust, the great morality of the Jewish people is the safety and security of Am Yisrael, wherever they may be. There is no other significant morality. The Palestinians, let them be moral about their fellow Palestinians. Let them take care of them. What did they do with the refugees, so-called, for the last 63 years? We took in millions of Jews from all over the world, built homes for them, rebuilt their lives. We turned them into productive, great citizens. And they leave their own people languishing in refugee camps all over. Let them worry about their morality. We have a higher morality. I'm telling you, I can imagine the editor of the letters of the Jerusalem Post, he's sitting over there like he's shaking. If you'd only hear me say it. What are you talking about? Schetman Nagishkeit. And over here, if you can make some warm statements about enemies of the Jewish people, you understand? Then you're a liberal, you're a kosher mensch, you have a big heart. All your big heart, your responsibility is to be concerned about your people. What? How many of these articles have been floating around over there on the internet about what has emerged from this little country over there? One of the things that I'm not so happy is there would not be a cell phone in the world today if not for Israeli technology. I'm Michael, that technology, you know. That's what they're doing. All right. But I read something recently that was shook me. The fact is, let's not kid ourselves. We have done great things for the world. You know, you see all these things about how many Nobel Prizes we've had through the years. The world doesn't know what profound tragedy they brought upon themselves through the Holocaust. That brain power, 6 million Jews, that brain power most probably could have found the cure for cancer and who knows how many other illnesses. An infinite amount of brain power was destroyed and obliterated. You know what our responsibility is? Take care of ourselves. And you know who says that? No less a figure than Moshe Rabbeinu in the last few psukim, the last words he says, Cherev ga'avosecha. Your power and your might is going, if you need the sword, you better be ready to use it. Difficult to learn this, but I understand. Your enemies are going to lie to you. They're going to say, no, we don't really hate you. No, we're good friends. They're going to pack. They're going to be frightened. They're going to be terrified of you. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. 2,000 years of being weak and powerless, that's over. And anybody who attempts to weaken the resolve of a Jewish people to stand up for their safety, their security, and their lives is not a friend of the Jewish people. We're the only people on the face of this earth that face at this very moment a threat of total annihilation and destruction. And in the ultimate sense, it's going to be from two sources will salvation come. It's going to come from a Rabbeinu Shel Olam together with Cherev Gavosecha. It's going to be our responsibility. I don't trust a single person on the face of this earth to stand up for us. They never did. They never will. Cherev Gavosecha. Let me read you something from the Abarbanel. Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, he knew what weakness meant. He was the you don't have it. There are sources that I keep for myself, you understand? Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, who chose to leave Spain together with his brothers and sisters who were expelled by Ferdinand and Isabella, the stupidest thing that a king and queen ever did. They turned Spain into nothing. So he says, he writes the following. He saw what weakness meant. Hundreds of thousands of Jews thrown out onto the high seas. So he says the following on the words, Cherev Gavotecha, your strength, your pride is going to be your sword. We don't, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get all uncomfortable about sounding very militaristic. He's realistic. He knows exactly what it means. He knows exactly what the story is. He knows how the world works. If the Jew is weak, they will crush him. They despise us in the world today, but boy, they're scared. It's a great deal different than it was 63 years ago. What a difference. We have to thank the Lord every day for the great gift that he gave us. Medinas Yisrael, with a Tzahal, we are so fortunate. Our elder Zaydis would jump for joy to be able to live in a Jewish state with a Jewish army. Because they understood what Moshe Rabbeinu meant when he said, Cherev Gavosecha. Yes, the sword is going to be your great pride. So the Abarbanel says the following. Efshel Afarish, the words, Cherev Gavosecha, Shehakel Yit'ale Lechvod Yisrael V'Tif'arto. Because of the honor, the dignity, and the majesty of Jewish people, though they win all their battles because of his help, you know what he wants? He wants them to go out there to fight so that the enemy should be frightened of them. Yishtachu yadam b'yayvim k'day sheyiyah lehem shem tif'ora, so that they should have this great reputation as being a strong people. That's asher cherev gavosecho, that the sword is your great pride. And I say, we don't get shook up about this. It doesn't sound lovey-dovey. We're not interested in lovey-dovey. We're interested in livey-livey. We want to keep living. And the only way we're going to keep living, oh boy, is cherev gavosecho. And then, what's the end of that pasuk? Va'ato al bamoteimo tidroch. Can you imagine? The last words that Israel hears from Moshe Rabbeinu, on their heights you will trample them. Does that sound like a good, liberal lover of mankind? No. You know what it sounds like? The father of the Jewish people. The man who succeeded in taking a slave people and turning them into a great nation. Ah, that reminds me. Heinrich Heine said. He said that I always disliked Moses. I disliked Moses because Moses prohibited the plastic arts. Moses prohibited making graven images, so he looked at Moses as having been some kind of a barbarian that doesn't understand the beauty of art. And then, he says, then I decided I made a mistake. There is no greater art form than taking a slave people and turning them into an eternal nation. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's act of great art. That was his art. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is in a real sense emulating Moshe Rabbeinu. He knows what to tell his students in the closing minutes of his life. Because after all is said and done, if you're not going to be strong, if you're not going to be ready to protect yourself, there will be no future. There won't be Torah either. Nothing. Everything depends on strength. There's a fascinating sentence that was written by the Rambam in a letter to the wise men of Marseille. The wise men of Marseille sent him a letter asking the Rambam what is his opinion about. Now, it's a long, long letter. And the letter outlines all sorts of astrologic ideas. You know, if somebody's born under such and such, he'll be this. And if you, you know, the horoscope, all of that. And they outline it all in detail. So he sends them a simple letter back saying that everything you're writing about, it's narrowskite, it's silly, it's meaningless, it's false. And he says, that was the problem with our fellow Jews at the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, that they were involved in all of these things and they didn't teach themselves how to use weapons. I'll read you the words of the Rambam. You don't have to believe me that he said that. I'll find it. Don't. Listen to the words of the great Rambam. V'zotisha avdo malchutenu, that caused us the loss of our kingdom. V'hecheriva et beit mikdashenu, and destroyed our holy temple. V'hericha et galutenu, and made our exile a long one. V'higiatanu at halom, and brought it to this point. He's talking about a point in time where Israel was downtrodden in the world, and this caused Shavuotenu Chotu, our father's sin, and they are not Velonit Asku. This is the operative line. Velonit Asku Belimidat Milchama Velo Bekibush Aratzos. They didn't learn how to wage war. And I'm not afraid of translating it, conquering lands. And here we have our great moralists in the country, and I'm going back to that article in the Jerusalem Post that has upset me no end. I'm going to have to take a drink after this. This was a... what are you talking about, you know? We're just... Keilu, as though we're a bunch of goose-stepping occupiers. The dirtiest word is occupiers. So that I think that was my opening sentence. You can't ever say that a people who are living in their ancestral land are occupiers. We're the only ones in Yehuda Vishomron that are living in their ancestral land. The Arab narrative is false. Don't call us occupiers. I need all these Jewish bleeding heart liberals calling us occupiers. You know what we are? We're listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you want Yisrael to dwell in safety and security, you have to be ready to stand up for that safety and security. You have to make sure that you keep sworn enemies as far away as possible. You have to remain on guard. The greatest mitzvah of our time is always to be on guard, awake, alert, and believe every miserable word that our enemies say. When we didn't believe what they said, never, never did we suffer. Moshe Rabbeinu, I mamish hear him talking to me in the sukkah. Chevre, cherev gavosecha, al bomosemo tidroch. Chag Sameach, everybody. Chag Sameach. I could have gone on, but I decided not to go on.
Break.
Oh, I gotta turn mine off. Hope it came out.